korkun kalkı trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bu lan. Dağdaş doğdan dur bu da moro da.
What's up people, we got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with one of the best fighters ever. You're probably in the top 50. You're in the top 50. Easily, right?
50.
Top 50, you think?
Oh, maybe. No, but I appreciate that. That's a compliment.
I think you're in the top
50. That's true.
Jake Ellenberger, okay. Top 50. I mean, look, you knocked out Jake Shields, who was the number one contender. You knocked out Nate Marquardt, right?
Yeah.
Nate Marquardt was also a number one contender.
Strikeforce middleweight champion.
And he was also Strikeforce champion, right? But didn't he fought for the title in the UFC, right? Didn't he fight Anderson Silva? He fought Nate. Yeah.
He did, yeah. He did.
So he was also So and then you beat Pele, who was also a guy that beat Matt Hughes in the first round. So I would say that you are in the top 50. Which
I appreciate that.
That's pretty amazing. Not many people can say they're the top 50 in what they do of all time. Like, I don't know many people that do that. So
that's true. No, I appreciate it. It's a compliment.
I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California, so get it delivered right to you at speedweed.com. So there was some great fights over the weekend. We'll go over those. First of all, I'll talk a little bit about my week before we get into that. So I had two kids that came over, kids that I coach wrestling, that were like, their parents were like, hey, our kids tested negative for COVID. They're starting a season next year. They're in eighth grade. Can you do some private coaching? You know? And I was like, I got a wrestling room back there. I was like, sure, why not? And they were going to, the father's going to pay me, but yada, yada. Great kids. Probably the best kid I ever coached. The kid won the tournament three times. And it's also hard because now, like wrestling, people think that wrestling is a seasonal sport. It's not. If you want to be a good wrestler, you got to do it 12 months out of the year. Maybe a month off here. But
yeah, I mean, it's almost like almost any sport. I mean, like I remember when I was in high school, you could play. It was almost more intramural. You could play. You could do something for baseball. You could do something for fun. But like, if you want to be competitive and actually, compete,
especially
you gotta do it year round.
Especially if you're going to be a freshman on the wrestling on the high school wrestling team, because that's always the hardest. You know, anytime you're a freshman. Like when you're going in as like brand new, especially if you've had a lot of success in middle school or even in high school. Like, I mean, you know how many times in high school I'd meet these guys that were like state champions and then their freshman year, their record was like 5-20, in college. It's just a different, so the father.
Sure. I mean, that's pretty much like the hardest year. I mean, freshman high school, freshman college, that's really like you find out. The reality, because I got a quick example. My a good buddy of mine, Tom Neely, he was a four-time state champ in Nebraska. He had a full ride, I think, to Iowa, and his first big match, I think he wrestled a guy, Zach Robertson, who was a fifth-year senior at Iowa State, and it was I think he was a close match. He loses by a point or two, but Todd hasn't lost in 4 years. He's not used to losing. He's a true freshman. This kid's a fifth-year senior. And that was just hard to deal with. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think a lot of people, freshman and sophomore years, like, if you make it through those 2 years, kind of like a boot camp in the military. If you make it through freshman and sophomore year, like, you're going to have a great junior senior next couple years.
No, it's true. I mean, there was a kid who wrestled in New York. He was a five-time state champion. Like, probably the only kid ever to do it. And he wrestled for ASU now. He's on the ASU wrestling team. I think last year his record was like 7-4 or something. Like, and this is a five-time New York state champion. It's just
it is, man.
Greg, you're
kind of like when you go from, like it's like a boy and a man. You know what I mean? You got guys that are still developing.
Yeah, totally. So, Ween Dog, how are you? And Greg is joining us. So anyway, so this kid's father hit me up and said, "Hey, can you help coach my kid?" And I'm telling you, first of all, these kids were not in great shape. One of them threw up after the warm-ups. And like they were saying, like the kids were like, man, I ran, I lifted, but this is wrestling shape's a whole different kind of shape. You know, like they hadn't wrestled in a couple months. But it felt so good to coach again. Just to be, you know, like I'm telling you, after this whole lockdown is over, if we make it out alive, just the little things in life, you're going to appreciate so much. Oh my God.
That's awesome, dude.
So that was it. And then I actually took my kid to, took my kid to the park, and cause like they have this little, you know, little for they're like four kids now, the five kids that her Zuga class, a bunch of little kids, you know, playing around, and the teacher wears like a face mask, of course, you know, to, and all the parents are wearing masks. It's kind of sad in a way, but at least it's like something. And my wife comes with me a Saturday morning, and she's wearing like a shirt, but you could see her nipples, like, you know, like you could.
Yeah.
And I was like, Bree, you're not going to wear that. She's like, well, I guess I'll, what, you think I'm going to make the babies jealous? I was like, that's like, of course, that my
jealous?
Wife. Jealous? Because breastfeeding and blah, blah, blah. I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, that's kind of a funny joke. But yeah.
Wait, and then did you come from court?
And I know, right? That I actually, it looks like that, doesn't it? I actually have an audition to play a lawyer. I was just getting ready for it. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm being roasted. I completely forgot about it. So, but I'm sorry about that, guys. That'd be
okay. Oh, looking good.
That's all. You look good. By the way, if you go to court now, virtual court, which they have, do you get dressed up? You do, right?
I wouldn't. I mean, no, I would. I mean, no, I would do exactly what I'm doing now, which is dress up from the waist up. If you look, if you look at this, I'm actually wearing shorts right there. This is literally just for a waist up shot that I have to do today. So that's what.
And then Friday I did a Zoom comedy show, and I'm like, I've run out of audience members. Like I'm now hitting up people that went to the high school with, you know, like, hey, remember me from high school 23 years ago? Do you want to come to my Zoom?
You know what's funny is I was wondering if that was going to happen because, you know, you do it every Friday.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and you headline it every Friday. I mean, yeah. It's your show. And I do one once a month. And I'm like, I still hope I get people to come again, you know.
Well, I have a lot of regulars, and I off the air, I'll tell you, I just booked a special. So I'm filming a special, like a legit special, like in like next month. So I'm actually really happy that I'm doing this, you know, because I don't.
That's awesome. Yeah, you got to stay in practice. Who for? Who are you shooting it for?
Can you say? No, I'll give you all the details off the air.
Okay. So, well, that's awesome. Congratulations, Adam Hunter. Yeah.
Finally, right? But one of the things is that I invited a bunch of girls I went to high school with, and a couple of them I had like crushes on, you know, like, and like now we're all in our 40s, you know, they still look good. But I was like, yeah, this is what I do. I just it's not even a real comedy show. I just pick girls that I used to want to bang in high school. And now I'm like, look at me now. Aha, I'm on Zoom. Like, don't you wish you could have had me? Anyway, let's talk about the fights going on. So Derek Brunson versus Edmund, I called it. I fucking called it. I said, this dude is not ready to be a gatekeeper. I think that like fighters get super insulted when they know they're being the gatekeeper. When all of a sudden you were the hot prospect at one point, and now you're the guy to make the other guy shine. And a lot of guys take that very personally, and they're like, fuck that. Like, not so fast. And I'm really happy that happened with Derek Brunson.
It was a great fight, dude.
Yeah, it was a great fight. But, I mean, that was the other thing. It wasn't just – I mean, if you're going to make somebody a stepping stone, don't make them the main event. You know, I mean, usually those guys are usually, you know, third, four down the card. But they made it the main event. Yeah, he was going to show up. And, I mean, he surprised the shit out of me.
Now,
that's a lot to come into. I mean, especially like you were saying, it's like, you know, he's relatively, I'd say Edmund's relatively newer in his career still and jumping in, you know, to a main event. But, Brunson's no joke, man. He beat some incredible guys. He did a great job.
No, I don't think it was a talent difference because I think Edmund is super talented. It was strictly, I think, a cardio thing, a pacing thing. It just seemed like Edmund was just out of gas. Like, he was just spent. Do you think that, Jake, is a lack of preparation? You think it's nerves, emotions? Or do you think it's just the guy that got everyone out in the first round and doesn't know how to prepare for a three-round fight?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination, you know. It's nerves. Like I said, there's a lot more things coming into play when you're the main event or you're the, you know, co-main event, main event, like I said, there's a lot more media, there's a lot more attention. So there's a lot, there's a few things moving there, but no, absolutely. It's like, it's the same thing, the whole wrestling versus striking. There's a lot of different energy systems you're using. So it's, I mean, it's, you know, it was a lot for him to take on, but yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a skill issue either. I think it was, yeah, he got tired and obviously he got hurt when he was tired. You know,
hit yeah, people are saying he got exposed. I'm like, no, I don't think it was an exposed thing.
Yeah,
I think he just ran out of gas like early. Like,
see, I didn't think he ran out of gas. I thought it was a power difference. I thought that Brunson just had so much more power. I don't think he was used to getting hit that hard.
Really?
You know, I mean,
because they even said in the first round that Eben had a lot more power than Brunson.
It didn't look that way to me. And Brunson, I think that power, once he took a couple of those, that's what really slowed him down, was taking those shots to the face from Brunson. I for me, I thought it was more about power than about stamina.
Ween Dog?
I was completely wrong on this fight. I thought Edmund would win. I was very surprised. I think Derek Brunson, you know, he has, what, 10 more fights in the UFC, 15 more fights than Edmund. I think it just came down to experience. He knew to pace himself and not to, I'm talking about Derek, and he knew to not just go, you know, full hog wild in the first round like he normally does and just chase him down. So I was really curious about what you guys think. Should the fight have been stopped at the end of the second round when Derek landed that big ass elbow like at the bell? What do you guys think?
Well, that, really, just to piggyback on what you were saying, I think that you know, big experience to that. Like, you, Brunson fought smart. You know, the first round he was very patient, so that's what impressed me about him. He fought very smart the first round. He didn't put himself in danger like he said in the past with other guys. Like,
right, and that was a departure for him, though, right? Like, this is like a new thing for him to pace himself like this, right?
All right, just so you guys know, this was the text from my friend Jay Chris. Hit me up before the fight. He's just getting into MMA. He goes, who do you think is going to win? The guy's a huge underdog. I'm learning MMA. He looks like blah, blah, blah. Do you think it's a hype? Because I go, Brunson's going to win. He's been in bigger fights. He's a vet. The other guy's unproven. Brunson's due for a win. He's a guy that hasn't reached potential. I have a feeling he's pissed being a gatekeeper. Fucking boom. Look at that, people, okay? Call me fucking Miss Cleo, okay? Because I had it all fucking right on that one. Thank you. No, I'm just saying. I wanted to fucking show you guys that I knew. No, but...
Well, great job, Adam. You want to pat on the... No.
Yes, I do. I do. No. I think Edmund should not have... Look, the guy was done. In fact, I was actually kind of annoyed at Brunson because I thought in the second round, he had this dude out and he was kind of pacing himself with his punches. And I'm like, bro, get this fucking guy out of here. Didn't it seem like he was a little bit holding back in the second? Maybe he didn't want to expend his energy?
I don't know. I didn't really think that. I think maybe he didn't realize how bad he was hurt. I don't know. There's a lot of things, you know, the ref certainly had a lot better of a viewpoint than we did, but it's one of those things. Would there be a lot of objection if they stopped it? I don't know. Probably not, but it's hard to say, you know what I mean?
I don't know. A lot of people were calling for the, you know, when they show all the texts that run on the screen now, all the tweets. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people were saying, don't let him go back for the third round. And he did legit look like he was out at the end of the second. I thought, especially when he was calling for, didn't he call for the doctor to come take a look at him, like in between? Like, to me, once that happens, I don't know. I thought they shouldn't have let him go back out there in the third. I was with everybody that was tweeting that they should just...
Well, we'll see now, because I feel like, you know, there's a hammer and a nail, and anyone could be the hammer when it comes to fighting. Not anyone, but, like, a lot of guys could win and win early and win big, but it's how you come back, right? Look, this dude might come back. This dude might come back. I mean, we don't know. A lot of fighters have come back and have been amazing. I mean, GSP lost to Matt Hughes early on in his career. A lot of guys, you know. Now, but what I don't like is, like, it seems like when a guy comes out hot, there's a huge hype train behind him. And when I say this, I mean this guy, Chimaev, right? He was 2-0 in the UFC. And already people are like talking about him fighting Conor McGregor. And I'm like, let's fucking relax on this a little bit. Like, come on. I mean, I understand we all like undefeated fighters, but there's levels to this shit. You know, for example, Sean O'Malley versus Cody Garbrandt. Those two are going at it right now. I just think it's too soon for Sean O'Malley. I know he's gotten some pretty big wins, but Cody Garbrandt is at the top tier. I mean, the top of the top. let's slow down our roles a little bit. I know we're all looking for the next big thing, but let's really let this guy earn, you know, because
now Edmund, did you guys feel like physically he wasn't? I don't know. To me, physically, he didn't seem like he was fully developed yet. And I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just saying, I mean, when you think of the UFC fighters fighting at that level in a main event, I mean, there's a certain amount of physical ability.
He's 23 years old. He's not going to, like, I mean, he's pretty as developed as he's going to be. He's not 15 years old. I mean,
I know. Physically, I was good. I was looking at him like, because I know the story. He started when he was 12 and everything. And I just expected him to look much more like, you know, what you expect from a UFC fighter fighting in a main event. I was a little worried about it that way.
Jake, you?
There's a lot of things thrown at him at once. He's 22, man. That's like 22. I think about what I was doing when I was 22. I mean, he's very, I think, mature for his age. And again, it's just a good experience for him. You know,
Brunson. Weren't you a Marine at 22? What are you talking about? Weren't you like in the Marines, you fucking weirdo, at 22?
Yeah, but I'm saying I wasn't made of any UFC when I was 22. So.
Yeah, but you were like a Marine / fighter / badass. I mean, let's talk about what Greg Wilson was doing at 22. I mean, like, that's a better example. Like,
I wish I could even remember. I really have no idea. Someone has to tell me. I have no idea.
How many times, Greg, in your life have you snorted cocaine out of a girl's butthole?
Maybe three. I mean, that is not – that was not an every weekend event. But listen, when it comes up, you keep riding that train, baby.
But a couple times, you worried that it wasn't all just blow that you got up?
Yes, yeah, there was one time. Yeah, that's a real thing. I was like, "Woo! There are some sprinkles on that donut."
How many times have you done blow out of a girl's butthole?
Oh, zero times. I've never done that.
Dude, you're missing out. You got to get in. You got to get in. I mean, well, it's probably too late now. I can't do it again. My wife isn't going to let me do that, so I'm off that train as well.
Listen, guys.
I'm sorry. I got to go do this audition now. Right, I just wanted to check in with you guys. I love you guys very much. Sorry about this.
Oh, you got
to
roll.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Good one. You look good, man. You look good.
Thank you.
All right, that was Greg Wilson.
Well, I'm still waiting for the opportunity to snort cocaine out of a girl's anus to arise. I will gladly take that challenge.
But don't you have a girlfriend?
Okay. Yeah, so I'm probably going to have to do it when she's not paying attention. She's not looking anyways back there, right? She's got her head down in the pillow. So I just got to do it quick, get my cocaine out that I don't have right now, definitely not in my nightstand, and just sneak it in there, dude.
All right, so let's talk about I've done cocaine twice in my life. One time a girl did it off my, you know.
Yeah.
And then offered me some, and I was like, all right. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, JoJo versus Maya. Speaking of nice buttholes.
Yeah, I was curious. What do you think about that?
I thought that, look, I'm a big JoJo fan. I'm friends with John Wood, great guy. He looked off. I mean, something was off. She's a world-class striker. I think she's won some Muay Thai, like, tournaments back in the day. For a world-class striker to be outstruck by Jennifer Maya, who's a jiu-jitsu woman, something was not right. She threw up after the fight, said she wasn't feeling well.
I heard she passed out.
I think she passed out. What do you think? Do you think, like, has there ever been any fights for you, Jake, where you just felt off?
For sure. I mean, there's just night. There's just, you know, it's like when you wake up, there's days where you just feel off and you're not clicking. But it is. It's weird, man. Even like Maya, she's a jiu-jitsu specialist, obviously, and it's, you know, some of it's just opportunistic. She, you know, she's throwing. Just think about it. If she's fighting someone who's a kickboxer or even a boxer, like, you're not going to sit there at range and then try to out-kickbox him at their range. It's just being able to, you know, be efficient, be effective, you know, and I mean, but I agree. I do think something looked off with JoJo, and you know, we can move on. Hopefully she can, I'm sure she'll bounce back though.
But I knew, like, right away, like, sometimes, like, you watch the fights and within the first 20 seconds, you're like, ooh, this person's not on their game. And then you got to wonder, like, okay, I guess it's tough for a fighter because you're like, well, do I pull out, like, the day of, because I'm not feeling well?
No way, can't do it. Really quick, to kind of, I guess, relate it to myself, but I've had so many fights where, same thing, I'd have people be like, dude, I can tell within 5 seconds if you're going to, be you, be Jake. You know what I mean? Like, even for example, when I would think about that, like how you start, it's kind of like how you start is going to be how the fight's going to go. And there's a lot of truth to that. I feel like even when I fought Matt Brown, it was like, all right, let's, if we're going to fight, let's go. Like, you got to, because I was typically always a late starter and you don't want to be playing catch up in this game. And so it's one of those, I knew if I could come out starting hard, you know, we could have a good night.
Was that the first time you ever threw a kick in your life, by the way, that fight?
No, I thought you knew the story. I actually, that specific kick, I drilled that kick for like 4 months with Giga, my buddy Giga in Chicago. But yeah, it's the kick to the liver, you know, because I mean, he's had trouble in the past, you know, with some certain taking body shots. But no, yeah, we actually
has like a button on him where if you press the button, he goes down like right there. Like if you could just get that button right, it's almost like a Mike Tyson's punch out.
The liver, it's the right side, yeah. I know it.
But if you can't get that, Matt will win. I remember that. And I was like, man, I didn't even know that you even knew how to throw a kick. Like, I've never seen you throw a kick before in your life. When have you ever – I've never seen a fight where you throw a kick. Maybe a low kick here and there, but to fucking make rain. Yeah. Now, Vicente Luque versus Randy Brown. I want to talk to Jake. I'm curious because Luque was on a tear. He was on like a 3-fight winning streak. And then he fought Wonder Boy. And I had bet on Luque to win that fight. And he loses, and then he wins his next 3 fights. Okay, Randy Brown.
How did that fight go, real quick?
What
with Thompson? How did that fight go?
Thompson just outstruck him. It just, just basically just beat him in a karate fight. And I think there are certain guys out there that they're losses, but they're so good at that one thing that it's probably really hard to train for a guy like Stephen Wonderboy or Damian Maya or I don't know. Let's say. I mean, wrestling, you can probably find a lot of good wrestlers, but they're so specialized that I almost like think of that loss as like an asterisk. Like, yeah, it's a loss, but you're not going to find another Wonderboy out there.
Right.
For a guy who called Wonderboy, am I right in thinking that?
I would agree. I think it's tough because, first of all, there's not very many. Think about how many guys are exceptional at one thing that can still compete and win at a high level. Not many. I mean, again, yeah, Maya, the Askrens. I mean, there's people that are very, but they're the best in the world at that one thing. So it's hard to stop.
But even like Askren, like, okay, you could walk into any gym in the country and find 20 D1 wrestlers, you know, whereas you're not going to find a guy who's like a 10th Dan karate fucking stylist who's still competing in MMA. It's just,
right.
You're not going to find a guy, maybe you'll find a jiu-jitsu guy, but like not at the level of Damian Maya, just because there's so many wrestlers in the country. But there aren't that many guys that take karate to that level. So it's got to be hard sometimes. Like who did you bring in? Who did you bring in to train for Wonderboy?
I had a few guys that were just more so like kickboxing, like getting used to that range and in and out kind of style. But yeah, I sparred with Machida. But again, it's really hard to just literally train for a few months for a specific style. But, and, you know, it's one of the things, like, my whole, what leading up to it, what I said kind of got taken out of context because people, like, you know, people think I'm just laughing at karate. It's like, wait, listen, pump the brakes a minute here because there's not, how many people can fight, I should say, real fight, MMA, and compete and win that are karate guys? There's two that I can name them. I don't know. I don't know anybody else. Do you?
MVP, Wonderboy. Okay. MVP and Wonderboy. I mean,
yeah.
Who else?
There's not a lot, right?
Who was your second?
What's that?
Who was the other guy you were thinking of?
Oh, well, I said Machida, but.
Oh, Machida, yeah, right. Machida, yeah. MVP and Wonderboy, right. Yeah, those three. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, being able to use that and actually win. Yeah, or be so good at their discipline and be able to compete at a high level. It's nearly impossible.
No, it is. And I remember like when Matt Brown fought Thompson, he was like, yeah, he's 187-0 in karate. He's like, I'd be fucking 8,000 if I fought a bunch of, you know, cab drivers and gym teachers and yada, yada. So, I mean, I think that, and Matt Brown toughed him. That was, you know what? I'm surprised Wonderboy even came back because that was one of the worst beatings I've ever seen was Matt Brown versus Wonderboy. And that was Wonderboy, he beat the shit out of him. And Wonderboy came back and has had a great career. I think that he's also a guy that I think he gets looked over a lot because nobody wants to fight him. Because you know that you're going to have to train a whole different style of fighting. It's probably a lot easier to fight a guy like John Fitch than Wonderboy.
Of course.
You know, because
it's a lot easier to prepare, yeah.
But to prepare. I mean, the actual fight a guy who's a grinder like John Fitch, nobody wants to fight John Fitch. But I'm saying as far as like you could, yeah. So anyway, so that I'm saying that loss of Vicente Luque, I think is people are like, oh, well, he lost to Wonderboy. But I'm like, I don't think people realize how hard it is to fight a guy like Wonderboy. I wouldn't even know where to start. Like if I was coaching you, Jake, and I was like, all right, you got to put Wonderboy fight. What do I do? Fucking, you know, bring in a bunch of karate guys? I mean, that's not even going to – what's that going to do? You know, they're not MMA karate guys. So also Bobby Green versus Benato. You know, I was happy about Bobby Green because there's a guy who – I remember when I was hanging out with Cody Bollinger and those guys over at Riverside MMA. I forgot the name of the gym. They were all saying that Bobby Green is the best in the gym, that this dude in the gym fucks everybody up. And I'm like, well, why did he get knocked out by Poirier in 8 seconds? Or why do you get, you know, or why is he not fighting to his level? I think a big problem with Bobby Green's fighting is that he curses so much in his fights and talks so much shit that these judges are like giving the close fights to the other guy. Cause they're like, fuck this guy. They're sitting there while the guy's like saying the N word, whatever the fuck he's saying. They're like, man, the close fights are not going to Bobby Green. And I think it might be because he talks so much shit in these fights. But he's great, and I'm happy for him because he's a guy that I think that, like, he's a streaky fighter. He's a dude that loses five and then wins five and then loses three. But, you know, I'm happy because a guy like him I think is good for the sport, and I think he's maybe, you know, maybe let's turn things around.
Yes, he's exciting. He's exciting to watch. You know, that's a big part of it, and he's obviously got some momentum right now, so. Seems like a cool cat. I don't know him, but he seems like a cool cat. So,
now the first fight of the card, Cody Durden against Gutierrez.
Go back to the Luque fight. What did you make of that?
I thought Luque won. As far as like lifting him up and kneeing him, I always thought that rule was kind of stupid. Where if you have one finger on the ground, I feel like I understand it, but I just feel like. People were gaming the system, you know? Yeah. And I think that if you're going to make MMA as close to a real fight as possible without somebody getting their neck broken, you know, then you can't have these like bizarre rules, like the 12 to 6 elbows, or if a guy has one fingernail on the fucking ground, you can't knee him, because now all of a sudden it's becoming like, I don't know. It just seems like we're cheating the system a little bit. So I'm happy that they changed the rules now, but it's got to be hard because I think that this dude thought he was safe. Randy Brown, in his mind, was like, oh, I can't get kneed because my hand's on the ground. And then he lifts it up and, whoa, he's out. So
yeah.
I think it's
unfortunate. Did you bet on Luque?
What?
Or did you pick Luque to win?
I picked Luque to win. It's hard because a guy who's 6'2", 170 pounds in Randy Brown – is a hard guy to pick against, because another guy that like you're like, it's like Stefan Struve. It's like, where do you find these fucking 6'2" guys that are? What, it's hard to train for those guys. And Randy Brown actually shows that he's really good. He's really tough. But I knew when Randy Brown in that fight landed like a spinning back elbow or something, that was really nice. And Luque just laughed at him, at the same time acknowledged it like, hey, that was good. I knew Brown was in trouble, because if another guy's like, hey, that's a good shot, nice work, it's almost like he's really comfortable in there. And he knows something that's going to happen
Where do you think Luque goes from here?
I think he's a top five guy. I mean, he won 6 out of 7 fights, you know?
I agree. He'll get a big fight. I assume he'll get a big fight next, somebody in the top five.
Have you ever punched a guy and had them laugh at you or smile?
Yeah. A lot in training. I'd say Lawler's the one that comes to mind when we fought, but he's a different breed on his own.
Now when you hit a guy, right, and you hit like, I don't know, 20, how many knockouts you had, let's say 20, and all of a sudden you hit a guy and he smiles at you, what's going through your head?
It depends. First, it depends what you hit him with. If I hit somebody with a right hand and they laugh and they smile, like, it's going to be a long night. But, you know, you're just jabbing and they laugh. That's pretty normal. But if you throw the sink at them and they laugh, they're like, this guy's a psycho.
Have you ever laughed at anybody when they hit you?
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, I don't remember, but I'm sure I did.
That dude, when I was wrestling in college, for like the month I wrestled, I don't know what it was. I think it might have been like the weight cut or like just like the meat being angry I was wrestling, but like guys would shoot on me and I would clap at them. Like I was such a fucking asshole. Like something like, or like even, you know how like you tap a head and you go for a shot, or you club a head and you go for a shot. I would just club a guy's head for no reason. And I remember a guy looking at the ref like, the fuck, you can't do that, you know? But I think something comes in your head where I just lost my mind. Like when I was wrestling, I was just became a fucking dick.
Yeah.
But you
kind of take that though. I mean, just relating to that, like people are like, oh, you know, you're such a different guy. You're such a cool guy outside of the fighting. And it's like, I mean, you got to put your mind, you know, you got to put yourself in the same, in that mentality, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes it takes people to be like a, you know, like Nick Diaz, two guys that are like kind of out of their mind, but sometimes it takes to get there to be, successful or wherever.
Well, I remember my junior year, I was like a defending like state champ, and this dude fucking pinned me and he screamed at me going, while he has me in a head and arm, just screaming. And then I ran 5 miles every week just thinking of this guy screaming at me for the entire 5 miles. That's all I would think about. And then I wrestled him again in the New England's in the semifinals. And I was like, and I knew that in order to beat him, I had to get on his level of, because he was an intimidating guy. So I'm like, come on, yeah. What? You want a piece of me? Like, to me, it was like, in order to beat a guy like that, I had to like show him that I wasn't afraid. I don't know. Have you ever fought a guy like that where you had to show him that like he can't intimidate you?
No, I mean, not that I can recall, but I'm sure. I think I had so many fights too. I don't remember, but I'm sure.
Okay. Do you know what you had?
Did you beat him, Adam? Did you beat the?
Yeah, dude? I fucking beat him. I beat him 6-2. I actually hit an ankle pick, which I never hit an ankle pick. When like 30 seconds late, like it was just right there. I was like, shit. First time I've ever hit an ankle pick in my whole wrestling career. And the last time
he pushed his head down when he tried to get up.
Well, yeah, I had a collar tie and I just went doop, and then I almost had him on his back. And then his brother, I think he was Puerto Rican or something, his brother started yelling at him like, you little white boy, beat you. And then, like, was all racist. I was actually super happy on like a lot of different levels. Now, Cody Durden versus Gutierrez, right? So he was a guy, obviously a good wrestler because he had that All-American tattoo on his back. That's when you know a guy's when they have that fucking American. You know, he won the first round. They called it a draw. He took him down and controlled him the whole time, but did no damage. I mean, and they gave him 10-8. And I have a problem with this. Like, look, as a coming from a wrestling background, I love wrestlers. I always support the wrestler. But if you take a guy down and hold him there and don't do any damage, it shouldn't be a 10-8. Like,
yeah, I agree.
He ended up losing the next two rounds, and they called it a draw. But I'm like, the other guy did a lot of damage in second and third. Like, you can't just hold the guy down and call it a 10-8. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I agree.
My other problem was Martinez, who beat Sands. The guy missed weight by 4 pounds. Now
he looked a lot bigger too.
You missed weight by 4 pounds. That's halfway to the next weight class. I don't know, man. I almost feel like the fight shouldn't go on. And you should give the other guy the win bonus and the money, because now
there needs to be stricter penalties.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the answer should be, Jake?
Man, I don't know. They always give the other, you know, the fighter the option. If your opponent misses weight, which of course you're like, yeah, well, everyone does, but I think there should be stricter penalties from, I don't know, from the commission or from, I don't know, whether it's suspension or
Some people said that you should start every fight 10-9 to the other guy, the guy who made weight.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe in a bigger fight. I think about it. Someone said, man, 50% of your you lose 50% of your purse if you don't make weight. How many people would miss weight? Probably not as many.
I don't know. I mean, you'd never miss weight, right?
I would certainly hope not.
Fuck. All right. So the fight's this week because we're waiting for Gerald Mearshart, who got coronavirus. He's supposed to come in. And then we got Don Fry coming in as well. But awesome. Let's talk about let's see if Don Fry can figure out technology. Jake, I feel your pain, man. By the way, congratulations to your birthday. Your daughter turned one, right?
Yeah, she did.
Thank you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I sent you a card. I know Chris D'Elia did too. happy birthday to Jake's daughter.
Thank you.
No problem. So, this week, Ben Henderson versus Michael Chandler. Ben Henderson is a guy I went to go to watch. I was in Arizona. I went to the lab in Arizona, and I watched Sparring Day. And I watched Ben Henderson beat a bunch of UFC and Bellator guys every round. This dude goes fucking – it was wild. And while he's holding the guy down, he's talking to his wife about groceries or picking up the kids. I mean, this dude – talk about multitasking. Ben Henderson just went through everybody. And I was like, wow, which made me appreciate Michael Chandler a lot more because Michael Chandler dominated Henderson. And it's one of those things where I'm like, man, like imagine seeing like the best guy you've ever seen and another guy beats him. Now, why are they having this? It seems like the only guys that Chandler can't beat are the Pitbull brothers. It seems like those guys have his number, the fucking Pitbull brothers. But everyone else, Chandler beats. Who do we like in this fight? Bellator Friday night, Jake Ellenberg.
I think it's going to be a great fight. I need to be a little more competitive than their first fight, but I think Chandler gets it done. I think he'll get the decision, the nod.
I agree.
He's also a guy that everyone keeps forgetting about. Like, remember, Chandler was like at one point the big star in Bellator. It seems like everybody just has gotten like people just like move past him, not talking about him as much, and I think that he resents that because I don't even know why. I mean. The one fight he lost, he like tore his ACL or something, like or his foot fell off during the fight, and then he came back and beat that guy. But I like Chandler. Now Matt Mitrione is fighting Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson's a guy that used to fight for the UFC. He's an Army veteran. He's from Omaha or from somewhere around there. I think Fargo, North Dakota. He's an Uber driver. At one point, was also worked at a strip club. As a bouncer, good dude, just a good country guy. He was on a 3-fight losing streak, about to be cut. He was the gatekeeper. They threw in Tyrell Fortune with him. Fortune was an undefeated stud, and Tim just knocked him out cold. So he's coming off that win. Mitrione's a guy that, like, every time you're like, he's going to win, he loses. Every time you think he's done, he wins. He's just one of those guys that you're just
– I know. It's hard to bet on them too. It's tough because I kind of write him off and he's shot. He's like, whoa, okay. I mean, was it the Fedor fight? Look at that one.
Yeah.
He beat some good guys. But...
The double knockout fight, that one.
Yeah.
But
that's heavyweight, though. You know, heavyweights can you land one shot. It's like. Not even necessarily who is the better fighter per se, but it's who lands first.
But like Ryan Bader just destroyed Mitrione. I mean, just ran through him. Tim Johnson is a good wrestler, all American wrestler. Is he going to stand up and strike with him? That's the way he can lose. Or is he going to use his wrestling? But Tim Johnson almost never uses his wrestling for some reason. Funny Mitrione story. So McCorkle told me he flew him out to Vegas to spar with him. And every day told me he was going to pick him up at like 10 a.m. Didn't show up one day for the entire week. Put him up, and McCorkle just went home after a week. Just basically just gave him a free trip to Vegas. and never stopped the one day of sparring. That's Matt Mitrione. I happen to like Matt, though. Also, AJ Agazarm. You know him?
I do. I actually know both, him and Chris.
So AJ Agazarm's a guy that did Wing Dog leave? Everyone's leaving this fucking thing. AJ Agazarm's a guy that, you know, he wrestled for OSU. I think he might have, like, walked on. Good wrestler, solid dude. Great at jiu-jitsu. I think he plays some big tournaments. He hangs out with the Diaz brothers, always posting these crazy drunk videos with them. He's trying to be like the bad guy of Bellator against Chris Lencioni, another fucking character, jiu-jitsu specialist. Like, who wins this one?
It's a good fight. You know, I've trained both guys, but, you know, I thought Sunshine – I think he's underrated, man. I trained him and I was like, wow, he surprised me. He's got good submissions. He's pretty good everywhere. So I'd say the more well-rounded fighter, I'd go with Chris. We'll see. I mean, it seemed one of those two games too. Can AJ keep the pressure? Can he take him down and do what he's better at, which is grappling and submission. So, but that's a good fight. It's a fun. I can't wait for that one. I'll definitely be watching that one.
What's up, Joe? Good news.
Up.
Sports keeps coming back, and so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball will finally start the summer this weekend, and it is in full swing, and there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And as sports starts to return, BetOnline has sat down with Eddie George from the NFL. That guy was awesome, right? They sat down with Robert Horry, who's a 7-time NBA champion, and Harold Reynolds from Major League Baseball. I just have his baseball card. And to get their opinions on what it would be like playing without fans in what they have called Fandemic, visit betonline.ag today and check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one, too. I think that Bellator should not put – it's on the undercard, which is like, come on, guys. Because I think this is like – these are two characters.
And
they're fun. They're fun guys. And I know that AJ lost his first fight. He lost his first fight ever. And then he was, like, managing Nick Diaz for a while. And I heard some crazy stories that I'm not allowed to tell on this about that situation. But
– No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
No, just he was trying to, like, basically, he was trying to, you know, calling up promoters and trying, I don't know. It's not my story to tell. So AJ, I'm excited about that one. Also, Miles Jury versus Georgie Karakanyan.
Oh, I didn't know they were fighting.
Georgie's coming off a loss to AJ McKee. He got knocked out quick. There's another guy that everyone loves. Georgie says, everyone in the gym says, this guy's like fucking the guy that hasn't always reached his full potential. Miles Jury, I don't even know why he left the UFC. I'm so confused. But who do you think wins this one?
I'm leaning towards Georgie, but it's a good fight. That's a good fight. I mean, Miles is talented too. I didn't realize he was in Bellator either, but that'll be a fun one to watch. I'm gonna go with Georgie.
And then in the UFC Saturday night, now Olenek versus Derek Lewis. I think this is a play to help make Lewis a star. They probably figured when Lewis fights, ratings go up, and they're giving him a guy who I didn't know was on a 2-fight winning streak. This guy fights so much, you forget the fights he wins. He beat Verdum, and he beat Maurice Green. Beating Verdum, look how good Verdum looked the last fight. Derek Lewis, man, I mean, he's never submitted, right? He's never actually been submitted. It seems like every fight he loses is a close fight where he gasses out. I think Cormier submitted him. Cormier took him down, and then Grunek choked him. But I don't know. It does seem like this fight's going to end in the first round with Derek Lewis punching Olenek and knocking him out.
I will tell you, I will be betting the inside, meaning it will not go the distance. So.
Yeah, it's not going the distance. But it does seem, right? Am I right? That think that this is going to be like kind of a layup for Lewis?
I mean, again, I've been so bad. Every time I pick against Lewis, he's won. It's one of those things. But I don't know. It's a tough. I don't know a whole lot about his opponent, but again, yeah, Lewis is explosive. If he gets in, if it ends in the first round, I'm going to go with Lewis for sure.
So Olmec's had like 75 fights. He wins by Ezekiel choke every other time. He's got like 20 Ezekiel choke wins. And he's a fun guy who seems like a good – like you can't help but like the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but he does get clipped. And when he gets clipped, he gets hurt. And when he gets hurt, he beats.
I'm going to go with Olenek by Ezekiel choke.
Really? I mean, look, that would be pretty fucking amazing. Okay, so – here's, so all you guys that are like complaining about my podcast, and we're getting a lot of love. We're getting like, my last one got like hundreds of likes and one dislike, whatever. But just so you know, when doing a podcast, okay, I booked Gerald Meerschaert at 12:30, right? He has not responded or come. Then Don Fry says, okay, yeah, I'll be there at 12:45. He's not responded. Greg Wilson was booked, who forgot he had an audition. And Jake is babysitting right now, okay? And thank you, Jake. I almost feel bad keeping you on. And Ween Dog has dropped out of the podcast 75 times.
Wi-Fi. And my Wi-Fi went out, but then I joined on my phone. And then right when I joined on my phone, my Wi-Fi reconnects. So now I'm back on my computer. So we're
and
all good.
Okay, now. And I'm still pulling this together, okay? And I hired a babysitter right now because I want to – and I got my Zola Frost to show up. Okay, but so just so you guys know, so you're not like – Spoken podcast, blah, blah, blah. You try doing a podcast with fucking two people that fucking don't show up, one guy who does and leaves wearing a fucking suit, okay? A guy who's Wi-Fi this, and a guy and kindergarten cop over here, all right? So so you guys fucking know what I'm dealing with, okay? And I'm trying to go over fights right now, to which the last one, Jake got mad because he was like, yo, next time let me know what we're going to talk about. So I got up fucking early, okay, and posted everyone who's fighting and sent him a thing so that that way he's not ambushed with, I don't know what the fuck's going on, all right? Just so you know.
I appreciate that.
No problem. I did that for nobody else but you, Jake, okay, because you're my boy. I appreciate the fact that you're a world-class athlete, okay, and parent and Marine and bodyguard and somebody who sells, I don't know what you do, credit card companies to something, okay, and everything else you do, slash professional gambler, all right? So I get it, all right? I get it. All right. So, but I had all these questions for Don Fry because I know he didn't watch the fucking fights, all right? And I have additional questions that he might know about, and he doesn't show up. And all these questions for fucking Gerald Meerschaert about COVID and everything else, who, by the way, is driving back to Milwaukee from Vegas after getting coronavirus and missing his fight. So
that sucks.
I will give him – listen, I fucking love the guy. I love Meerschaert. He's a really good dude, and I feel for the guy, okay? And so I understand why he can't come in, all right? So I get it, but he didn't tell me he couldn't come in. But I get why – what. So don't – I'd be selfish to be like – well, my podcast, this dude's got a lot. He's driving back to fucking Milwaukee after getting coronavirus and making weight and weighing in. So I get it.
Dang. That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
And then that's what I didn't realize when John was didn't John would drive back with him? Or
John Wood?
Yeah, when.
Oh, yeah. Well, John Wood, he drove to. I guess people don't want to fly with COVID, right? I mean, you gotta figure, is that why people aren't flying, or I don't know.
Yeah, but his fighter's fight got canceled, right? And then he drove back to Vegas. But fuck did his fighter ride with him? Why wouldn't he just fly or do something? I don't know. Because he didn't have it, right? His fighter was.
Yeah, I don't know. These are all good. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I would have just fly from Milwaukee to Vegas, right? But then you're like, you got to figure maybe you're safer in the car and maybe he wants to cut weight or something. Who knows? This fight, the next fight we're going to talk about scares me. But by the way, we got Jake Ellenberger and Ween Dog. I don't fucking need anybody else. Okay.
I'm sorry
for bitching, but just so you guys know what I'm going through. Okay. Okay. To give you the best fucking podcast for free. And by the way, I'm sorry there were so many commercials. Okay, that was Ween Dog. putting all the commercials in there.
No, it wasn't. No, when we start getting a million views per episode, then you'll see commercials like that. Trust me.
Yeah, okay. But by the way, the commercials are off. A lot of people, by the way, were picking you against Vince. Vince Michel got very mad last week, Jake, because Ween Dog crashed his Twitch to promote his own Twitch channel and left. Vince almost killed him.
I thought Vince was like joking at first, and then I saw that he was like actually serious and actually mad, and I was like, oh my god. And I had already like gone into like the Ween Dog character and like went full denial against all the accusations, and he just kept getting madder and madder. I felt really bad.
A lot of people had like your back, though. I guess we have a lot of annoying Twitch people that listen to our show. All right, so what I'm worried about, don't worry, Jake, you'll be done by one. You have 8 more minutes before your wife yells at you. Is Chris Weidman versus this guy Akeda. Because Weidman has lost 5 out of his last 6 fights, all by TKO. He beat Kelvin Gastelum, and he was almost TKO'd in that fight, too. I mean, Gastelum clipped him and almost had him out. I don't think Gastelum should be that way. It's all different. Whereas this other guy, Akhmedov, won 5 out of 6. He beat Ian Heinisch. He beat Zach Cummings. And he had a draw against Vettori, who everyone's, you know, look how good Vittori's looking right now.
Yeah.
Tough fight for Weidman. I mean, he's fighting a guy that no one knows. Who's won 5 out of 6. He's lost 5 out of 6. I hate to say it, but if Chris gets knocked out again or gets stopped, he shouldn't be fighting anymore.
I agree, yeah.
Sad. Yeah, I mean, that's never a question. Most fighters want to have that honest question with themselves is, when is it time to move on? And I mean, you know, Weidman's always had an unbelievable career, beating one of the greatest of all time. But it's like, I agree. I would say if he cannot, you know, gain some traction, some momentum, and get over this weekend with the win, it's probably time to move on.
Now, the other side of that argument, though, because I'm like, all right, well, let's make the argument against yourselves, Adam. Well, he lost to Dominic Reyes, Jacare, Musasi, Romero, and Rockhold. Right.
Right.
So those are the
but
guys.
But then are you comfortable being a? Here's the thing. It's like Ronda. It's like Connor. It's like when you become world champion or you beat one of the top 2 or 3 guys in the world, there's no more easy fight. You know, I mean, what do you give Weidman a guy on Dana White Contender Series? No, not gonna happen. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like you can't give a guy like, especially with what they're paying. And look at the balance sheet. They're paying him a shitload of money. You can't give him a guy who probably. Who should be on a regional circuit. I mean, there's no easy fight. It's just the reality we're in. The same with me. It's like I had a few main events. I had a couple top 5, top 3. It's like you're going to face that same level of competition the rest of your career. You know what I mean? It's like I didn't expect that either. It's like you're not going to go from fighting world champions to nobody. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm a Weidman fan.
Right, but instead of giving Weidman Akhmedov, who arguably if he goes through Weidman is a contender, why not give him Tim Boesch or somebody that's in that same category of losing last 3 out of 4 that's a name kind of that, you know, like, why not give him a name that's not going to fucking be a killer that no one's heard of from Dagestan?
I mean, that's the sport we're in, you know what I mean? That's a matchmaking right there. I don't know. I would watch the fight either way, whoever he fought. But
yeah,
again, there are no easy fights now.
But then again, if he beats Tim Boesch, like, so what? Whereas if he beats this guy, okay, I've beaten a contender guy, whatever.
Right.
So yeah, that's there is that. I can see it both ways. I don't want to see Chris Weidman get hurt. Chris Weidman's a guy that, like, I think he peaked a little bit. I think he peaked in the Silva fight. He peaked in the Machida fight. And he has not been the same fighter. I think Rockhold kind of took his soul, I guess if you could say, like, had his number a little bit. But I don't want to see – Chris is a smart guy, great guy. You know, he made a lot of money. Don Fry is here with his hairy chest out, wearing – Ellenberger, are you witnessing this?
I got a run, brother. I apologize.
No, you're not seeing Don Fry right now?
I know. No, I can't see him. Is he on?
Yeah. Hold on. Maybe I'll spotlight him. Okay. Okay, can you see him now?
I can.
Don Fry is here. Don, say hi to Jake Ellenberger.
His audio is not connected. It always takes Don Fry 17 minutes for his audio to connect for some reason. I've never seen anything like this.
All right, so Jake has to go. Jake, take care, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for everything, brother. Thank you.
You got it. Wing dog. See you, brother.
Take it easy.
All right, so Don Fry's here. So we guess we gotta wait for Don to connect the audio.
He has probably the best internet of anyone we've ever had on this show.
People wanted to start a GoFundMe account to get him a better computer. That was actually a real thing.
Really?
And like better audio. Yeah.
Is it still up?
No, someone was talked about it. I don't think they actually started it.
Oh my gosh.
But Don is wearing a bathrobe. He's got a cigar in. He's got a white cowboy hat. He's the man. Can you hear me, Don?
He looks like a drug dealer from Narcos, like one of the main leaders of the Narcos cartel or something like that.
Don, can you hear? Don, are you here? Hello. This is the greatest podcast.
I don't know if he's talking to somebody or if he's having a stroke.
Don, are you with us? Don Fry. Hello. All right, people. Well, I did have some questions for Don. I did actually questions that I wanted to talk to him about. Don, are you, hold on, let me see, maybe I could help him with this audio.
We need to schedule him for the start of the episode, so when he joins, his audio will connect by like midway through the episode.
Yeah.
So
hey, Don, we're doing another podcast Wednesday. You want to just come by? Can you hear us? Hello? Don, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? Don, how are you?
Good. Thanks for getting dressed up. How are you doing, man?
I'm okay. How are you?
I see you.
I'm okay. Hello.
All right, you're in your bathrobe. You're hanging out. How was your weekend? What did you do this weekend?
Hell, I don't remember what I did this weekend. You know what? My daughters came by, and we just. Yeah, we goofed off, had some fun, and the rest of it, I don't remember.
Did you watch any of the fights?
No, I didn't know there was any on.
Okay, well, there's some fights this Saturday if you want to watch. It's a good fight Saturday. The Black Beast is fighting. You know Derek Lewis, the Black Beast?
Yeah.
He's fighting this guy, Alexi Olmec.
Who's he fighting?
Alexi Olmec, who's like got a record of like 60-11 or something. 59-13. He's got 20 wins by Ezekiel choke. So.
Well, I guess that pretty much tells Derrick Lewis what to stay away from, huh?
Yeah. Have you ever had anybody tap you by Ezekiel choke?
Hell no, baby. Hell no. Is that where they grab you by the balls, squeeze down real tight?
Close.
Yeah. Has anybody ever tapped you ever? Have you ever been tapped in a fight?
I don't. I'm sure I did. Yeah. You know, when you get old and you get all beat up, the injuries, you're more beat up going into the match than you are coming out of it.
So it seems like there was a guy last week who missed weight by – he was a 135 pounder, and he missed weight by 4 pounds. He ended up winning. But what do you – do you think that they should have the – if a guy missed weight by 5 pounds, 4 pounds, you're halfway up to the next weight class. Should they at that point just say, you know what, you lost a fight, give the other guy his win bonus?
Well – let him fight. I mean, the other guy's been training, you know, so obviously, you know, dot the guy the pay and give it to the other opponent. But if the guy who's overweight wins the fight, then it shouldn't count against the other guy's record, you know?
It seems like the guy who misses weight almost always wins. Like, it's like some kind of ridiculous percentage, like 80%.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair to the other guy who actually made the weight, you know?
It should be up to the other guy. He can take 50% of the guy's purse and not fight, or he could take 75% of the guy's purse and fight.
Right, I think you're right. Now, Colby Covington's a fighter. He was I don't know if you watched the fight with Usman, a great fight. He's a big Trump supporter, huge Trump supporter. He sat down with Candace Owens, Donald Trump Jr. He became sort of like the poster boy for the right. And he was talking a lot of crap about his teammates. Him and Masvidal, where they used to train together, and then now they're enemies. He talked shit about Poirier. He said Poirier was going to lose, yada, yada. He ended up getting kicked out of American Top Team. And now he's starting his own camp in Florida. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think that can still be done? What do you think about bad-mouthing your teammates? His whole thing is it's freedom of speech. Why am I not allowed freedom of speech if I'm in the UFC and in my training camp?
Well, you are allowed freedom of speech, but, if you badmouth your teammates, you got to expect to get kicked off the team. I mean, hell, when I was at Okie State, I was voted off the team. So.
Why were you voted off the team?
I lost a match. I lost my match against ASU, which caused the whole team to lose. So they questioned my loyalty.
And the cigar smoking during practice.
That's bullshit. First of all, if it was that close, it wasn't you that caused the whole thing. The whole team, there were other guys that must have lost too. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been that close.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of guys that lost. Yeah, I mean, so we end up losing the whole match by 1 point or something like that. But you're right. But not to sit here and make excuses, that's why the heavyweights get the big money, so to speak.
But it must have been more than that. So why were they but what were you doing to question your loyalty? Were you out with girls? Were you partying? They wouldn't have, just voted you off a team if you lost a match.
No, I had wrestled for ASU before. I had wrestled for ASU, and then I was injured.
Got it. So they thought because you were on their team beforehand, you were trying to rig it, so that that's bullshit. You would never do that. Yeah. You would never do that.
No, but that's when a bunch of feelings get hurt at the college level, they question your loyalty.
But now it's okay. So now Colby is bringing guys to train with, right? Colby now is bringing guys to train with. Do you think that that's going to work? Has it ever worked before where you could have your own fight camp?
Sure. I mean, that's how it was before. I mean, you assemble your own people. You assemble people who are loyal to you, And, with AKA, shit, you can't go in there and beat up each other every freaking day. Somebody's gotta go easy and take the lumps. That's why you hire sparring partners. Sparring partners take the beating. When they're in there, somebody's got a world title fight going on, but everybody's still trying to kill the guy. It's stupid. You got to be able to make it to the fight first before, right. Before you even work. You got to get there healthy. You got to get to the fight healthy.
But isn't there a danger of guys? But isn't there a danger of guys taking it easy on you and you not getting better because of it?
No. There comes a certain point in the training. I mean, while you're training, working out throughout the whole year, you go hard. But when you're training for a fight, you know, there comes like a 4-week period where they've got to take the lumps. They've got to go easy on the guy, you know, to a certain degree.
Got
you
it.
Know, all I mean, right. If I go in there and if you and I are getting ready for a fight and you're getting ready to fight Mike Tyson and I knock you out 3 or 4 times, you know, during the course of training, I'm not helping you. I'm not benefiting you. I've loosened your jaw. You know, I've injured you for the fight.
Right, right. Did anybody ever try to do that to you before a fight?
Oh, yeah. There were stupid-ass people who they were chased out. You know, we had stupid people come and they would go relatively quickly.
Did you ever fuck them up like, hey, man, what are you doing? And then you just knocked them out?
Shit, partner, I don't remember. It's been so long ago. You know, it's been, I haven't fought in a decade, you know? I'm criminy. You know, when you get ready for a fight, I was so tunnel visioned, you know, getting ready for a fight. When my other guy saw the guy, somebody tweaking, taking advantage of the situation, they got on him and they chased his ass out.
That's good coaches right there. Good coaches. Now, Khabib.
Good coaches and sparring partners. My sparring partners were part of that. Chased out the guys.
So now they have Khabib versus Gaethje. They have a date set. And I guess if Khabib wins, they're talking about Khabib versus GSP. Now, who do you think wins? Khabib versus Gaethje? And then who do you think wins if Khabib wins versus GSP?
Yeah. You know, I'm going Khabib in the first fight. You know, I mean, Gaethje. Obviously, I'm for Gaethje because he's an American. But, you know, common sense and loyalty, they butt heads sometimes, you know? And now Khabib's bulletproof. He's freaking bulletproof. So when it comes to him fighting GSP, it's just going to be a coin toss.
What is it about guys from Dagestan? Like, have you ever been over there?
No. No, but, you know, I mean, the guy, anything with the ex-Soviet Union, I mean, those guys are tough. They grow up tough. You know, geez. And, you know, it's a fucking recovering war zone, you know, the whole thing. And we got guys here that bitch and piss and moan because their milk is warm, you know. People here, they got to walk 5 miles, get a clean cup of water.
Yeah, yeah. So they're just tougher. They want it more, the tougher, the solid. It just means more, right?
You're damn right. You're damn right. And they're fighting. I mean, that's the way it was, you know, for fighters back, you know, 50 years ago. You know, they would fight their way out of the ghetto. Now all they got to do is yell racism and they're handed a check.
Well, I mean, fighters are yelling racism and they handed a check?
No, I mean, anybody grown up in the ghetto, you know?
Oh, right. But, right, yeah, right.
Or, you know, before you'd have to fight your way to get out of the ghetto.
Now,
you
know,
so you had tough people.
Have you mailed in your ballot for Joe Biden yet or no?
Every morning, I do my my Joe Biden wipe.
Now, I mean, do you think Biden is like?
I grab my Joe Biden ballot and I smear it.
Who do you think has a better memory, you or Joe Biden?
Oh shit, that's a scary one right there. Who are we talking about?
Now, Tora MMA in Brazil, they signed Bigfoot Silva to fight in their promotion. Bigfoot Silva has been knocked out 8 of his last 9 fights. And they got him and they got Barral. They got Paul Harris, who doesn't let go of ankle locks, and they got Barral.
Hanan Barao. I mean, do you think Bigfoot Silva at this point should be fighting still? Come on.
You know, that's a questionable, scary situation. I mean, lose 8 of your last 9 by knockout, you know, things, you know, it might be time to hang up.
I mean, I like Gary Goodridge, but he fought way more than he should have.
Right.
You know, and he's got some serious mental problems, and which is horrible, but we should learn from that. And I feel like we're not learning from it by getting guys like Bigfoot Silva out there and other guys like that. You know, I understand he's a name, he's a draw, people are going to watch it because of him, but at what expense? You know,
are they going to let him do steroids too? Because in Brazil, that's a huge factor, especially for Bigfoot. He's such an old fighter. And we know when they started to test for TRT, he actually needed the TRT because he has gigantism or whatever he has. So maybe if they just pump his head full of steroids and whatever he wants.
Yeah, but the fight's not in Brazil. It's in Miami.
Oh, then if they're drug testing him, then he probably shouldn't fight. You know what I'm saying?
That's little Cuba, right? Little Cuba now quickly becoming little Brazil.
Miami, pretty much. Now, a lot of Cubans are pro Trump. Guys like Hector Lombard, other guys, because they know how bad socialism was, and they fear that's where America's going.
They have common sense. They know what the hell it's all about. These idiots nowadays, you know, they've been lied to, or they've grown up through the school system. They don't have a clue.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it does seem like some people that want socialism, it's like, well, you know, there could be some policies that are socialized. You don't want socialism, you know, your whole, I mean, come on. So a guy from who trains where you're at this week, Michael Ben Henderson is fighting Michael Chandler in Bellator. Are you going to watch this fight?
No. Bellator's never been played to me. Bellator's never been played to me, and I have no reason to give them my money.
I mean, I give them money just turning on television, right? I mean, but yeah, you give me your
same
time.
Thing.
There's no reason why you should not be calling fights. You are the funniest and best announcer out there. I think you and Pat Miletich and Boz Rutten would be like one of my dream teams, especially you and Pat Miletich. Pat, did you watch Pat Miletich's kickboxing fight 2 weeks ago?
No, I didn't know he had one. No.
He fought Michael Nunn. It was in Iowa.
Yeah, what happened?
He lost to Michael Nunn in kickboxing, but it was pretty close. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that doesn't say much for Michael Nunn. I mean, Pat's, what, 55 now or 75? And, you know, probably his first kickboxing match, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pat's had a tough time. He got two DUIs. He got a second one recently, but he's doing better. He's doing all right. I like Pat. Shout out to Pat Miletich. Were you friends with Miletich?
Well, yeah. No, but I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about the guy, but hell, Pat, I mean, they got, what, Uber nowadays. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to be driving drunk.
Absolutely. Now, he tells a story that he actually once chased Tank Abbott out of a nightclub at an after party. Tank didn't want to fight him.
Yeah.
Who do you think would have won that fight, Tank Abbott or Pat Miletich?
I think Pat Miletich, you know, I mean, Tank Abbott's got more goddamn excuses for losing fights than Dana White does have Ferraris.
So, yeah, so you think Pat would have taken him, even though there's a kind of a big weight difference?
Oh, quickly. Pat would have disposed of me quickly.
Oh, wow. All right. There we go. You heard it here, guys. You heard it. Pat Miletich would have fucked up Tank Abbott back in the day. Now, if Brock Lesnar would have fought Josh Barnett in that dream matchup, who would have won?
What year are we talking?
Weren't they supposed to fight in like Affliction or something? Like back in that Affliction days.
Oh, really? I'd have gone with Josh because Josh was, you know, Josh was steamrolling back then. You know, he was doing a hell of a job. You know? And Brock hadn't really got his feet wet in the game yet, you know? Yeah. I mean, now it's a different story. I'd have to go the other direction.
Colby Covington supposedly has signed on to fight Tyron Woodley. Good fight there. I obviously give Colby the advantage in cardio and how he's looked lately. Colby Woodley's got the advantage in power and striking. Wrestling, I'd say they're both All-Americans, even. On the ground, I don't know on the ground. Who do you think wins this fight, Don Fry?
I'm going to go with Colby Covington, and not just because I'm white and white lives matter, you know. I'm going to go that he's a much better athlete at this point, you know. And unfortunately, Woodley's been knocked out a few times here lately, hasn't he?
He's lost. He hasn't been knocked out, but he's lost two out of his last three. And look, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. Everyone's
white lives matter. All
everyone's
lives. Lives.
Everybody, black, white, everybody. Everybody's lives matters.
Right. And again, no.
Well, let's not get into this. I don't want to get into this right now. all right. And finally, so Mike Perry issued an apology. So Mike Perry, I know last night he found out he was going to be a father. And you know, so he got into a bar fight. He beat up five guys in a bar. He said the N-word a couple times. He's a little out of control. Good fighter, great fighter. But he says, I want to be a better role model for my family, for my unborn son, my queen, who's his girlfriend and trainer, and for myself, so I can learn the respect I deserve, earn the respect I deserve. To my sponsors and my bosses at UFC, I want to apologize for how my actions have impacted our relationships. I will be better all around. Have you ever had to make that kind of apology, Don?
Well, I'm sure I have. I don't remember.
What did you do?
I did a lot of drinking during my heyday, so you know. That goes along with drinking. Shit. You can't, you know, geez. I mean, short of killing somebody, you can't hold everything they do against them while they're drinking against them.
Well, come on. I mean, yeah, but somebody's drink, they're so responsible for how they act. Even you can't use, I was drunk as an excuse to act like a maniac, and beat people up at bars.
Right. But, I mean, who started the goddamn fight? I mean, you know.
I would guess Mike Perry. I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no idea. Mike Perry seems like a pretty good dude if you just don't fuck with him or cross him. But alcohol is probably not his friend. You
know? Same thing, Conor McGregor. Some guy mouths off, says his whiskey is shit, and he doesn't expect to get popped in the mouth. Come on. You say something like that, you're going to get dropped in your ass.
Yes and no, but at the same time, every time someone says something to you, like I mean, words don't hurt you. You go to go out and just punch somebody for saying your whiskey shit. I mean, is it worth it? Is it worth like all the fucking bullshit you have to deal with afterwards?
Wait, you just said words don't hurt you, but a minute ago you're saying the guy shouldn't have said, you know, words. You know, so which I'm one is that. It? Words hurt.
Words can hurt you, okay? But somebody saying, look, someone says something about my daughter, like out of line. Yeah, you're gonna get popped, okay? Or you're gonna get fucked with back. Somebody says something like that. Somebody says somebody says your whiskey sucks. Are you gonna go punch him in the face? I mean, come on. Aren't there levels to this?
Well, what if I say your comedy routine sucks and I get it told all the time.
I'm not. I can't go punch somebody in the face for doing that, especially if I'm the best fighter in the world. That's as much as that sucks to hear. you can't
physically. Well, that's your living, right?
Yeah, but that's what people are entitled to their opinions on my comedy routine. I mean, Don, somebody says to you, Don, you know, your fighting sucks. Are you going to go punch him in the face at a bar? Come on.
It depends on which fight they're talking about.
No, I mean, you can't use violence is not the answer, especially if some fucking idiot at a bar says something. And as much as it sucks and you'd like to punch the person, you do have a responsibility to not hurt people physically, you know?
Oh, shit. They have responsibility to keep their mouth shut. You know that? Why am I going to mess with a loaded gun?
They're morons. And you know what? A punch in the face will teach them a lesson, but at the expense of you losing your job, getting kicked out of the UFC, being sued, fucking having all this bullshit happen to you. Like, is it worth you going to jail for?
Well, that's why the country is in such a shithole position it is, because we are not allowed to knock people on their ass when they mouth off. If people got knocked on their ass more, they would behave themselves.
And I agree. I agree with that. But at the same time, you have to go, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is this worth it? Okay. And the answer is almost always no. You know? Unfortunately. Okay.
Keeps going downhill.
All right, so you punching somebody at a bar is not going to help the country.
Unless they're a terrorist.
It is one person at a time. One person at a time.
I thought you just said you were going to apologize. Wasn't this you saying you apologize? The whole thing was like, have you ever felt bad about something? And you said yes. And now you're completely defending this behavior. So what's going on?
No, I didn't. Yes, I said, I'm sure I have.
Ween Dog, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, if you look at Mike Perry's case versus Conor McGregor, I am always an advocate for legal action. Mike Perry, what he did, I think he was in the legal right because the other old man, you know, even though he's an old man, he did charge him and push him. And once that happens, do you have the legal right to defend yourself?
Were there like four people there?
I don't know. I think I just saw the old man come charge at him. And then Mike Perry like gave him a right hook. I don't think he should have fucking knocked the old man out considering his age and probably health. Maybe tackle him or just, you know, do whatever you can to defend yourself. You shouldn't knock him out though. Maybe you should teach him a lesson.
What are you supposed to do? Carry a red cape around with you all the time and go Toro, Toro, you know, step to the side.
I don't know. If that's what you want to do, that'd be badass. But right, with McGregor,
that old man knocked on his ass.
He probably did deserve to get knocked on his ass. But when you're like a public figure like Mike Perry, you might want to, you know, consider an alternate way of putting a dude out like that. Maybe just, you know, kick him in the nuts or something.
You're supposed to go belly up. You're supposed to roll over belly up for every asshole out there who wants to feel good about themselves and mouth off to you.
No, maybe.
No, nobody's saying that. But and then as far as McGregor goes, Ween Dog.
I don't think McGregor was in the right to punch him. I think there was probably a better way to resolve it. Just, you know. I think, I don't know, because I think that was in Ireland, right? I don't know the Ireland laws, you know. Maybe that's legal in Ireland, you know.
But he could have bought the guy a shot of whiskey and proven to him, no, it's not bad.
They get a free shot, I don't know. Just maybe don't punch an old man, if he's not attacking you.
I mean, the guy's entitled to his opinion. Like, okay, your alcohol sucks. Not nice. Dick move. Guy's a shithead. But to go out there and crack the guy in the face, like, is that, that's the answer, Don? Anytime someone says something to you that, like, is kind of a dickish thing to say, you can go crack him in the face?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
Well, listen, I mean, Don Fry, I mean, your world would probably be a lot safer. People would have more respect. And, you know, yeah. Unfortunately, that's not the case right now, you know, and if somebody says, Adam, your comedy sucks, and I go punch him in the face, and then they sue me, and it cost me $50,000 or $100,000, that money that could have went to my kid, but now I got to fucking pay this lawyer because somebody could crack my face. That's a bonehead move, and it's not the bigger picture is the wrong thing to do. And you got to look at the bigger picture sometimes.
What? Why is it the wrong thing to do? Because this asshole, you know,
because that money, because that money, because that money. Now I got a criminal charge against me. I may lose my job at the coaching wrestling, and I got to spend money that could have went to my kid and my wife to some fucking lawyer to defend this bullshit. So all that is a fucking right. mess.
So you're supposed to tuck your dick between your legs and go slinking off every time somebody says something to you.
Unfortunately, yes. Not every time, depending on what they say. There's always
That's what's wrong with our country. That's what's wrong with our country.
There's always, you know, there's always a limit. You can't say anything. But somebody saying your comedy sucks or your alcohol sucks, you gotta roll off the thing. I mean, there's a limit. I mean, somebody's father, if all of a sudden, if like someone, my dad died and somebody said something shit about my dad the next fucking day, I probably would punch the guy in the face. You know, like there's certain things where you're going to go, okay, fine. That person needs to get a fucking punch in the face. But somebody saying your alcohol sucks when you just made $900 million on your fucking alcohol, and come on. Like that's going to get you to punch him in the face? Like that's the tipping point? I mean, what are we talking about?
So when do you stop? When you say, you're right, my alcohol is bad. Let me show you my my sales receipts. Wow, I made $900 million.
I don't have all the answers, but you can't just go around and punch people in the face. You can't. There are rules to this game. And maybe you can. I mean, you live by your own rules.
So you have to tuck your dick between your legs and eat everybody's shit for the rest of your life.
Not everybody's shit the rest of my life, okay? But yeah, like of course, there's times where like you can't just do what you want all the time, even if you think you're justified. I can't. Maybe you can. Wean Dog, can you?
No, but maybe you can teach them a lesson. Just make sure there's no cameras around. Make sure you can't get caught. Just beat them until they're unconscious so they can't remember anything. You know, that's the biggest problem in the world today is everything is on camera. All these incidents that we're talking about were all filmed on camera. So just find a way to beat the shit out of this guy with no one seeing it, no one watching it. No, there's no video evidence. You know,
get your ninja costume on and fucking hop out of the woods.
Like, yeah, dude, if that's what it takes.
I mean, Don, how many street fights
have you beat the hell? Beat the hell out of the guy and then offer everybody $1,000 to delete what they have on their phone. I mean, you'll save a lot more money, right?
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, if there's 50 people, that's only $50,000. So, you know, you saved yourself a ton of money. And the guy learned his lesson, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
God, I think you need a book called Life Lessons with Don Fry. I honestly think that, like, it would be a best-selling. Life, how to deal. How to be a real man in 2020. I think that's what the world needs right now. For real. Honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know what happened here in Tucson is some white guy on the side of BLM walked up and punched a black cop.
So stupid.
Now, is that the dumbest thing you heard?
Yes, of course. That obviously.
That's what's going on. That's what's going on in today's society.
I don't think that's the norm, but I think that guy's an idiot and should be arrested. And hopefully, he does a lot of time. I mean, and also, what an idiot! I mean, you can't just be like Black Lives Matter as long as they agree with me. No, they all matter.
Right. Well, that seems to be. You know, their modem, their MO, you know?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people just, like, they only care about people who agree with them. It's like, what? The whole point of America is that we have free speech with freedom of ideas while to express how we are. You can't just cut off someone's opinion because they don't agree with you. That's not the whole point of this is, like, it's beyond me why people think that way. Hopefully it'll change. Well, listen, Don
because
Fry,
they have been knocked on their ass.
They never got knocked
on
their ass.
They have not been knocked on their ass when they're
yet. You know what? I agree. I'd say a majority of fighters, people out there, people who have got knocked on their ass, I wouldn't say they're Trump supporters, but they're definitely like not for cancel culture.
Polite. Very polite.
Very polite, and they're not.
Armed societies.
And they're also for opening to.
Most fighters. I'm sorry, I interrupt you. Most fighters are polite.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Almost all of them.
Because they've been asked.
Well, listen, Don, it's always an honor to have you on. You're the best. We're not worthy. Ween Dog, great seeing you. Take care. Have a good rest of the week, guys. Love you guys.